Pastor Buddy, welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you in. We got a great show lined up for you. We're going to begin a series on the mark of the beast. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. We're going to Genesis 4, 15. And then from there, it's just open floodgate going down into the book of Revelations, where we will try to, if you will, break down the barrier of ignorance, superstition, fear, and unbelief about the name of the beast. Well, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? If you go back to the first time the word mark is used in the Bible, we're going back there, if you will, and we're going to look at just exactly some of the definitions of mark. The King James Bible uses mark. There could have been other things used that could have been more informative about what the mark was upon Cain. Now, Cain is the first one to receive a mark. It's actually an identification number, if you will, a sign. And if you will look at the definition of mark, it is Strong's number 226 in the King James Bible, or in your Strong's Bible. And the first description, giving you a detailed account here, is sign or signal. So there's some identification signs upon mark, upon the species of Cain. Cain is an offspring, if you will, of the relationship between the woman and the serpent. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, that was Adam's son. I beg your pardon. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12 says Cain was of the wicked one. Adam was nowhere around when she conceived the seed in her womb. Now, when Yahweh came on the scene, Yahweh discovered by questioning the woman, and she revealed that she had eat with the serpent. Now, remember again, that word eat is Strong's number 398, etal, which means a better descriptive term, instead of E-A-T, would L-A-Y. She lay with a serpent, and they formed a fruit in the womb. Now, the forbidden fruit was that she was not to lay with the tree of good and evil. Trees are depicted in the Bible as man or men, in this case, angelic men, that walked in the garden of the pre-existent fourth dimension. You see, Adam was from the fifth dimension, lowered into the fourth dimension, and there where he had access to walk among all the other gods, or the Elohim, as the Bible would say. And so then the first sign of Cain's disobedience, remember in 4:15, the Bible says that Cain was cursed. Well, remember in 3:15, Yahweh cursed Satan and his seed. So Cain become a benefactor, if so be that you look at it from the positive side of Yahweh. Yahweh cursed Cain as the first seed upon the earth. Remember, man was driven out of the garden. The woman was pregnant with two seeds, one good and one bad. Abel was the son of Yahweh, slain from the foundation of the world. And there's no scripture, let me make a challenge here and issue that very quickly, right up front, so that we can differentiate between Cain and Abel. Cain was of the wicked one, according to 1 John 3:12, as I said. Abel was the son of Elohim, son of El, son of God, slain from the foundation of the world, and all the righteous blood will be required from Abel, beginning at the righteous blood of Abel, the righteous blood. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Cain had righteous blood in him. You either make the tree good and the fruit good, or the tree corrupt. Cain was corrupt. What tree was he from? Satan was his father. Oh, how we could go back and undo the fear, ignorance, and superstition that Eve ate an apple or some type of a manner of a fruit hanging on a tree. The tree was the family tree of Satan. Now, when she lay with Satan, she had to get the seed of Yahweh into the earth. Yahweh had to lay with Eve as an adulterous woman after the fact. You say, well, the Bible says that Adam knew her. Yes, Adam knew her, but she was already conceived with Cain. And so, therefore, Adam was not the father of Cain or Abel. And the challenge issue today, or this evening here on 5070 Worldwide, WWCR, Shortwave, is for your Bible scholars or Bible studiers, and I hope that we have those in our class tonight, is that you look into the lineage offspring of Adam. Adam did not start to bring forth sons until Eve got a replacement seed with Adam as the father in his own likeness in Genesis chapter 5, 130 years after Cain, who was cursed and banished from the earth, and made a statement after he killed Abel, my punishment is greater than I can bear, because Yahweh cursed the earth and told Cain, who was a tiller of the ground, that the earth would no longer yield to him, and so he would become a vagabond, a wanderer, with a certain distinguishing mark, which means sign, signal, a distinguishing mark, banner, resemblance, miraculous sign, or omen. Any of those are descriptive. And the title that the King James put in there, mark, is not in that descriptive form of the word, the Hebrew word, oof, O-W-T-H, Psalms number 226. It is sign, token, ensign, miracles, and then finally, mark. So, let's go back to sign. That was a sign, a distinguishing mark upon Cain. What was this mark? Have you ever wondered? Remember that Cain said, wherever I go, man will try to kill me. Well, now, wait a minute here. If Cain and Abel were the only ones upon the earth, Cain killed Abel, and who was left to kill Cain? You ever thought about that? Well, the Bible said Cain went east, and there he found him a wife. And the first son he had was a builder of major cities, an architect. So the mark is a distinguishing mark of intelligence, a mark of a high brow, a hooked nose, and far superior intelligence over the average person, including Adam. This intelligent mark would distinguish this rare seed and place it in the earth to acquire, oh, listen to this. You talk about intelligence far superior. Now, not spiritual intelligence, because, you see, Cain had no spiritual intelligence. Abel's intelligence in the spirit realm was far greater than that of Cain. But Cain's intelligence of the earth, earthly, carnal, sensual, envious, murderous, conniving, was the superiority went to Cain. And so then, the mark of intelligence, and it is reported that the Canaanite seed have at least a 15% higher IQ on an average than doth the sons of Adam. 15% doesn't sound like much until you put it in an area above 160 IQ. And then they go up to the genius level of how to formulate and live as wanderers and vagabonds in the earth and survive without growing any food of their own. Isn't it marvelous? You see, the Bible said that Cain was a tiller or a herder of the sheep. He didn't till the land. He was a keeper of the herds. Well, in this case, the Greek word for mark in the verses that I'm going to mention, and again, this is Strong's number 5480 in the Greek. Karagma. The word karagma is 5480, and it's from the root word 5482. And it is a graven stamp, an imprinted mark of a mark stamped on the forehead or in the right hand as the badge of the followers of the Antichrist. This is a descriptive title. The mark branded upon horses, things carved, sculptured, or graven work. Graven, artificers of brass, jewelers, loaners of money, pawn shop owners. Are you getting the message here tonight of what the mark is? In Revelations 13:16, we're going to move there quickly because I'm going to cover in a series tonight to lay the salt, the groundwork, as we cover in a few more examples of messages following this one of the intention of the mark of the beast. I'm going to get into Revelation and show you that the mark of the beast really, truly what it is. Most people fear a implant, a chip, something that will go under the skin that will give them a sentence of hell and fire and brimstone if they're implanted, and yet they carry a Social Security card. They have numbers. They've got numbers already in their pocketbooks. If they work in a modern era in Babylon, they're already identified with a number, and yet they're afraid to take some kind of an implant. If you go back into the 30s, when the Social Security came out under Roosevelt, that ought to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, that they were scared. Many people refused to carry a Social Security card until the necessity to work outweighed the fear of carrying a card. And so it is in the last days, man is having to adapt to the Babylonian form of number system. But is it numbers that we should fear, or is it something else? We're going to get into that something else here tonight and prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is not an implant that is going to cause you trouble, that it is something entirely different, unsuspecting. You see, everything that people suspect, then you should look in the opposite way, because you see, the mass people that are deceived don't really know why they're deceived. For someone deceived doesn't know they've been deceived. But they fear things that they are superstitiously afraid of. And in this case, they're afraid of having some implant put under their skin because they're afraid it could automatically be a mark of a beast. And that they don't want to be part of it, because the Bible says, whosoever received the mark will get into that. So then there's a lot of questions that we're going to cover in the next series of the mark of the beast. You don't want to miss 1 minute of our program. And we're going to continue the mark of the beast, part 1, part 2, part 3, and 4, if Yahweh's willing. And we get to cover this in time. Now, let's go into Revelation chapter 13. I'm going to cover the chain seed. I'm going to go back in part 2 and go back into the garden and show you exactly how Cain came out with a superior mark. A few people in the earth owning at least 75% of the world's total wealth. Now let me repeat that. There is a statistic that is highly true and accountable because figures don't lie. The liar's figure. But in this case, 3%, now included in this 3%, is all of the elite that own all of the major deposits of silver and gold, which is the only standard of value to be exacted in comparison to wealth. You see, if you have a lot of paper money with a symbol upon it, or a mark, we'll get into some of the mark symbols of the dollar bill later on, when we get into the Illuminati agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to step on toes. We're going to make people mad here tonight. We can't have it. Because, see, truth is a separator. Just like when you churn milk, butter, and cream, the dents will come to the top. We're looking for the cream and the butter. We're not looking for the blue John, as the old saying here in Tennessee goes. After you get through churning the milk, all of the minerals and the vitamins are up in the top. And the bottom feeders is the unclean, which is below. We're going to deal with the scum of the earth. We're going to deal with the Canaanites. These are literally the scumbags. But you cannot deny the mark of intelligence upon the brow where the mark is placed, which is a high receding brow of a large brain that has a 15% greater capacity, and you take the ability of a snake to know what he is as opposed to a sheep to know what he is, and the difference is staggering between the sheep mentality and the serpent mentality, or the snake mentality. A snake knows what he is. He has the advantage because in his mouth is venom, poison, that will kill sheep, that will cause the heel of the sheep to be bruised. Well, in this case, the sheep have to wake up before they can bruise the head of the serpent, and a serpent is hard to kill. If you've ever tried to kill a snake, literally, figuratively speaking, you find that you have to throw quite a few rocks to hit the snake because he's very elusive, very crafty, and he can hide in places that you'll never suspect. Did you know that the most wealthiest people in the world are not written about? They are well hidden among the weak. These are the tares of the earth. 97% of the wealth is held by 3% of the world's population. Now, I want to get into the world's population of 3% holding 97% of the wealth. And try to distinguish between those that have the wealth, the true wealth, and those that have dollars too, which are just paper, figuratively paper, worthless paper, just like any nation that devalues its currency, money. And you can have a wheelbarrow full of money, but if it's devalued, it has no value. And only a gold standard of biblical proportions, which we'll get into the number 666. And we'll go to 2 Chronicles, where Solomon received 666 talents of gold. And this is symbolic of wealth, economic powers. And we're going to find out who's got all the silver and gold. If you go to Fort Knox, Kentucky to find gold, you're going to the wrong place. If you go to the international headquarters of the Seed of Cain, you will find at least 90% of the wealth stored in their treasure houses. International banking systems control the other 10%. But in the house of Cain, and I won't go any further than that, so you can do your own deciphering with the code words of jewelers, bankers, pawnbrokers, and things of this nature that have filled the earth, a very few people have become powerfully rich and famous in the inner circles of where big money circulates, and yet not much is known about these people. There's more known about the Hollywood elite, the beautiful people, than there is about these ugly vermin that crawl the earth as the scumbags of the earth. Who are they? They own 90% of the proven wealth of the world, and they have acquired it. And since the 16th century, now, Cain, from the very beginning, has been a survivor. But in the last 300 or so years, he's come on like gangbusters to become rich and famous. And yet he's well hidden among the elite, and not much is written about these elitists that are well hidden as a serpent hides himself in among the cattle, the sheep, and the horses. And we'll use that as an analogy of those that are now looking for metaphors to place the blame where it should be. And we use code words, and we hope and trust that the students of the Bible will have the discerning ability to know what Pastor Buddy's talking about and who we're talking about that is well hidden within society, and yet they have a mark upon them of identity which identifies them as very intelligent, very rich, and very powerful. I care not who makes the laws of a nation, as long as I can control its financial wealth. A famous quote from a famous person who is rarely seen. Let me repeat that. A famous quote from a famous person who is rarely seen. But in the financial capitals of the world and the large cities, remember that Cain's offspring built and inhabited large cities, and there they prospered. So in Revelation, and they give you some scripture and background about the mark. In Revelation 13:16, it says a mark. Revelation 13:17 says the mark. Revelation 14:9, his mark. Revelation 14:11, mark of his name. I want to pause right there and let you turn to Revelations 14:11. The mark of his name. I want you to think about that. You see, do not fear an implant of an economical system that would make it easier to track your money or whatever. That's all they want to do is to keep up with your wealth so that they can charge you usury and that you can pay your fair amount of taxes. That's all that the people that are exacting taxes from your earnings are interested in. They're not interested in some type of spiritual binding for you because you're already bound in ignorance, fear, and superstition to start with, and why should they try to improve on something that you've perfected? We are not destroyed for knowledge. We're destroyed for the lack of it. So then there is a people that has more knowledge, and it has the mark of a name. I want you to repeat it. It has a mark of a name, not a mark of a barcode or the mark of an in-chip plant or things that we fear. And you, if you listen to shortwave, then you'll understand that these are hawking these things are nothing but disinformationalists that are trying to get you afraid because, you see, Satan works better when you're afraid rather than when you're knowledgeable. When you become to the knowledge, when you receive the knowledge, then you have nothing to fear but fear itself. Perfect love, knowledge, casts out fear. You can win the battle if you'll come up to speed with knowledge, not fear. Do not fear implants. and I'm more than carrying a Social Security card. If you got one of those, it's no different than having a Social Security card, because it's just a tracking system of a number assigned to you as an individual. That's going to happen whether you like it or not. That's the sign of the times. But long ago, there was a name that came into the earth. This name was respected. This name was accepted. This name had salvation qualities. This is Revelation 14:11. It was a mark of a name. So the mark of the beast is a name given to all the world to wonder at, and all the world will wonder after the beast, which is a name. I want to repeat this now. Not a chip, not an implant, not a barcode, not some giant computer in Belgium. This is hockey talk of those who are disinformation, and to get you to sidetrack, to keep you worried, to keep you in a restless state where your mind can't function and think. And yet this name is sung and praised all over the world. It is glorious. This is a name of deception. So the mark would be a name that was hatched out of the 23rd chapter of the imagination of those who were evil, who intended to enslave through truthful deceit. Now let me improve on that if I can. I use the word truthful deceit. What did I mean? Because most deceit contains at least 95 to 99% truth. I'm going to repeat it. Most deception or deceit contains just enough truth to deceive the very elect, if possible. Now, why would they do that? Because the whole world will be deceived, wondering after the beast who has the name of blasphemy. This name has salvational qualities according to them, but it has none. I know that you have a name that you live by, but you're dead, saith Christ. I know them that say that they are Jews and are not, but are liars, saith Christ. I know those that cause us to forget the true name of the Hebrew God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and it certainly is not Jehovah. It certainly is not Lord, and it certainly is not God. But in the King James Bible, the Lord God has been replaced, or has replaced, a name that was in there originally that was scrubbed of the translators. Let me improve on that word. Translators. Beware of those who translate the Bible. Beware of the scribes, Christ said. The scribes are one that translated the Bible. I'm going to repeat this. Remember the stone the builders rejected? The builders was the translators who become translators. And they have deceived the whole world by adding certain words and phrases into the Bible that weren't there originally to deceive the very elect. Now, the mark of his name, Revelation 14:11, I'm going to talk about it. A false name. Do not be deceived in a false name. Remember I told you last Sunday night in Matthew 28:19, when Christ said, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, that the whore church came along and used that saying verbatim. I now baptize you in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And all people that are baptized under that premise, thinking that they've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the name was never declared over them. And the name was never applied to the void. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, you mean that the Bible would tell me that I must need have a mark of a name in my forehead? Oh, yes, that's mandatory. You say, well, I've been told that I should receive the mark of the beast. ladies and gentlemen, let me read you a scripture. This is in Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, verse 1, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, that was the tree of life. There she comes back into our den. Remember, the tree of life was denied us as we were turned out of the garden because woman sinned. You see, most people think Adam sinned, but the Bible said Adam was not in the transgression. I'm going to repeat that. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. You see, the seed that she carried out of the garden, one good and one bad, the bad destroyed the good. And now the replacement. Now we're looking for replacements. Here it is, the tree of life. It bared and yielded fruit every month. And the tree was for the healing of the house of Israel. I'm going to prove that to you. That only the house of Israel has the names written in the foundation stones of the city four square, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. The Bible is written to, for, and about one specific people upon the earth. This is not a universal book for all peoples. This is for the house of Israel, exclusively to, for, and about. The blood covenant of the fewest people upon the earth, who are the dumb sheep led astray by the cunning craftiness of the mark of a name that would deceive the very elect. Thinking that they are doing God a service will kill you, saying, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in this great name that they were given? And you know what this name was given by, to, for, and about? Revelation 17 says there was a woman sitting upon the peoples of the earth, and this woman caused all of the earth to receive a name of blasphemy. I want to repeat that. This woman, who was beautiful, John admired her greatly, but in her cup was the blood of a martyr of all the saints, and more wars have been fought and more people killed over this religious issue than any army has killed in the world or in time. To count the blood, it's mostly because of religious issues that people are killed or hated or hate each other because of the diversity. And I told you how that the holy church of the woman in Revelation 17 came forth and conquered in a name that she is now spread across the world and has become the most powerful name on the planet. And yet, it could possibly be a name of blasphemy. And this is where the startling information gets stranger than any fiction that you've ever heard. You'll never hear a pastor with the guts and the intestinal fortitude and the spiritual integrity that loves you enough to declare this openly to you. Coming to you live and direct on the Shepherd's Call, you'll hear it exclusively here, declared through the mouth of the last day prophets of Yahweh, who is sending them on the scene to preach the gospel, that Christ indeed was not a Jew, but was out of the northern house of the kingdom of Galilee, Ephrathah, Bethlehem, and that his name is embedded and written there for all to see in the Hebrew language, and I have it. And I have the pictures of it, and I can send them to you if you'd be interested tonight. The name rejected, and the name accepted. The name accepted was the blaspheming name, and the name rejected was the saving name of the truth of the house of Israel. And only the sheep, only the few, only the precious, only those who will search the scriptures, only those that will dig for their information, only those that will hazard their life and fast and pray and get serious about heaven and cast off tradition and vain jangling and babbling of man, who have turned the truth of our God into lasciviousness and worship the creature that they created out of the 23rd chapter of the imagination as Iesus. Ea was an Egyptian deity. Zeus was the pagan god of Rome. and in 325 A.D., Constantine, irregardless of what you may think, would not give up Zeus as part of the Roman deity. And so they expertly combined two gods, Ea and Zeus, and formulated a name, Ea Zeus, and this is the name of Revelations 14:11. And if you can't get this, if you can't receive this, if you can't see beyond the end of your spiritual traditional nose, then you're not the spiritual bloodhound I'm looking for. We're looking for a few good people that will search the scriptures. For wherein they think they have eternal life, they have none. For these are the scriptures that testify of the name that was rejected rather than the name that was accepted. You say, Pastor Buddy, then the New Testament is polluted. I'm going to ask you a question. Would you trust a church that is described in the very book of Revelation, chapter 17? Would you trust a church with 1,000 years of the official, original letters of the apostolic fathers who were Hebrews? All of the 12 apostles were Hebrews, Galilean. Let me repeat this. All of the 12 original apostles were Galilean Hebrews. And would you trust a church that confiscated all of their written materials and plunged the world to 1,000 years of dark ages and then came out with a New Testament that is highly suspect, written in Latin first and then Greek? You see, the Catholic Church performed all the rituals in Latin for hundreds of years, until they were forced by popular demand that it be written in Greek, and then it was translated to English. And that's when the English-speaking peoples heard of the name for the first time of their Savior, which was called, by tradition up until that point, by the Catholic clergy, Jesus. Better known in Spanish language, Jesus. And now in the English language, Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, the mark of his name, Revelation 13:16, was a mark. There is intelligent people that have formulated this false name. The mark is a name. If you've got it on you, you're in trouble. Revelation 20:4 says his mark. Revelation 19:20, the mark of the beast. Revelation 16:2, the mark of the beast again. Revelation 15:2, his mark. Revelation 14:11, mark of his name. Mark of his name. What is the mark of a name of blasphemy? Here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have to inform you that you're going to have a mark in your forehead to go to heaven. The choice is yours. It has to be the right name or the false name. Now, the world is wondering after a false name. Very few people have heard about the true name. The true name was rejected. The false name was accepted. And they expertly came in and slipped in because he hadn't done your homework. He hadn't studied, he hadn't prayed, he hadn't fasted. You won't listen to a man of Yahweh because he, a man of Yahweh, will cut you right down to the heart, the marrow of the bone. That's what the word's for. And woe to the shepherd that failed to bring the blood to open your heart. I want to open your heart and let it bleed true rather than bleed a lie and be down. There is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. Let me repeat that. There is a way that seemeth right, but the end is death. Many will stand before me in that day and say, well, we worship you in this great name. Are we acceptable in your kingdom? And what's he going to say? This is sad. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to our own people. I'm talking to those who are bound by tradition in the clutches of the mark of a name. Are they loyal to it? They would die for it. They'd even kill you for it, thinking they're doing God a service. What is this name? It's the mark of the beast. Now, the beast is a spiritual embodiment, and those that support it and receive the mark in their forehead, that mark is their thought process. They have been indoctrinated with falsehood to believe a lie and be damned. A way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. It's a mark of his name, Revelation 14:11. That mark is put in the foreheads of those that call upon a whorish name, established and brought forth by a whorish church. And the truth is cast to the ground, and the devil and his people prosper, and all that are deceived support it with their right hand. That is a figure of giving your support, your tithes, reaching into your pocketbook, tithing into these establishments of deceit, thinking that you're doing God a service. Oh, this is, I told you, it's going to get mad at me. I pray that the Father will give you understanding, because I can't apologize to you for preaching the truth. I pray that the Father will soften your heart instead of harden it. You see, truth sometimes will cause the heart to harden. Oh, Nabal, when he got the truth, his heart was hardened and he died. Don't let your heart harden. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in the Mighty One, then you must believe in his true name. Here it is. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to repeat this. You're going to be surprised what I'm fixing to tell you. You must have a mark of a name in your forehead to go to heaven. I'm going to repeat this. You must, by all means, receive a mark in your forehead to go to heaven. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, I sure don't want to receive that mark. Well, that's the mark you need. See, the mark you've received, if you've got a name that you worship by, and that name is not provable in the Bible, then you've been received the mark of the beast, and many people have it and don't even realize it. And then the disinformation, Satan's children call them on scare you and say, well, don't take a chip. You see, the religious world is scared to death. The people of the world in Babylon could care less. I mean, make it more convenient for them. Give them a smart card, credit card. Give them something that will make it easier. Give them a cell phone that they can call around the world. Give them something convenient. Make it easier for them. And the people of Babylon, the people of the world, they don't care. But the religious bigots are scared to death by these evangelists that there's going to come. And yet, you see, the evangelists have got the 5013 card in their pocket. I'm going to repeat that. These lying serpent evangelists, pastors, false prophets, you see, the beast and Satan and the false prophet are the three unclean spirits like frogs that come out of the mouth of these three different religious institutions. Satanic influence of changing the truth to a lie, putting it upon the back of a religious system called the beast, and using the false prophets that will preach for money. And these are the 501(c)(3)s that will take the mark of anything. They're telling you not to take an implant chip. Ladies and gentlemen, this is so ridiculous and so foolish, because the foolish are superstitious and fearful. And yet the world's going to march on without them, whether they go or not. They will come. They carry a Social Security card in their pocket. They file 501(c) tax exempt status just to get more money in their coffers to build bigger places to deceive the very elect. Here it is. I'm going to prove to you. I'm going to prove to you. Turn with me now to Revelations 22, verse 3 and 4. I'm going to prove to you that you must have a mark in your forehead to go to heaven. And they shall see his face. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. Remember, the earth was cursed for Adam, but the earth was cursed that it would not yield to Cain. So he become a vagabond and a wanderer. You ever know who they were, the gypsies of Europe? There's a history about them. You ever read about them? You ever read about what they did and how they lived? How they formed these gypsy packs? How that they would steal into the cities and kidnap the children and drank their blood? Vampirish, Canaanites. Have you ever wondered where a lot of children disappear every year? Oh, my. This is ground truth zero, where the rubber meets the road, where few dare to go. But you know what the Bible said? Paul said, I have hazarded my life for the name of Yahweh. Most preachers would hazard their life for Jesus, Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a name that has change the world in religious Christianity. And all the people call upon it with no exceptions. very few exceptions. Here it is. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Right there it is. You've got to have his name, not a name, not the mark of his name, of the Antichrist. Who are the Antichrist? The ones that have convinced the world that they're God's chosen people? Oh my, but they have slipped in. You see, ladies and gentlemen, they say they are Jews, but they are not. But they are liars, according to Revelations 2 and 9. Who are they? Where are they coming from? They're coming for you and your soul. They're hunters and stalkers of your soul. Remember the inkhorn, the angel that had the inkhorn, he looked into the foreheads and he was searching for a name. Not the name of blasphemy, not the name of a false Jesus, not the name of a false God, but the name, and the only way you can get it, ladies and gentlemen, is repent and be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins. We just got back from a trip in Mississippi where we baptized 5, and you say, Pastor Buddy, would you drive that far to baptize 5 people? I certainly would. My appreciation to Dr. Gary for the invitation and supporting us down there and letting us stay in a king's suite, praise Yahweh, fit for a king. And we were treated like royal kings, my wife and I. And we baptized 5 in the glorious, magnanimous, magnificent, powerful, but forgotten name of Yahweh. It's a name above all names. There's no other name. Hallelujah. In the Bible to compare to it, although there is names that have been placed in there intentionally to give you an opportunity to receive the mark of a false name. Now, you got to have the mark of a true name. Remember this. His name shall be in the court. Whose name? Yahweh. Yahweh's name must be in your forehead to associate with the Father. Now, two quick scriptures, my close. We're going to Revelations, chapter 13, to show you the false name. And then we're going to Revelations 14 to show you the true name. Now, let me read the false name first and show you that the whole earth will wonder after it. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast. This beast is a religious system, ladies and gentlemen, mentioned in Revelation 17, and I haven't got time to get in. I wish I had 10 hours. Oh, my, it was somebody that was rich that could pay my airtime on WWCR. I could purchase time and go across the world with this message. I need your help. Praise Yahweh. Help me. Help this poor Tennessee plowboy to preach the truth. I got the backbone. I need your help. Praise Yahweh. Help us. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God to blaspheme God's true name. This beast power with a false name would fight against the true name, having a name that they say they live by, but they're dead. But those who have remained faithful haven't denied the true name are the ones that have the mark of the true name in their foreheads. And I saw this beast rise up out of the sea. This is people. Having 7 horns and 10 horns, and up on his horns 10 crowns upon his head, the name of blasphemy. This is a religious name that is accepted in the world under Christianity. This is the name of blasphemy. If you got that name in your forehead, you can have it replaced. But you better have it replaced before it's too late. I should get 1,000 calls tonight across America of people desiring to have that name rubbed out of their forehead with water, washed out with water. You have your sins remitted through water baptism in the correct name, not the false name. You see, many people are going to be deceived thinking they got the true name when all along they denied the true name, didn't even know it, probably never heard it. But you're hearing it tonight, the great, magnanimous, magnificent name of Yahweh, 5,823 times in the Old Testament, where you see L-O-R-D, count the letters, it should be Y-H-B-H. The Holy Tetragrammaton and the 4 sacred letters of the Hebrew God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, all of the apostolic fathers, including Peter, James, and John, and all those that preached in the New Testament, they never had heard of Jesus or Jesus. This is the name that came in 325 A.D., was conspired through conspiracy to place the name of blasphemy in the Word. Why would God let the Word be that, Pastor Buddy? Well, ladies and gentlemen, have you never read in the last chapter here that whosoever adds to the Word, don't you think that men are capable of rewriting and are adding to it or changing the text? You see, these holy, unholy men wrote over the holy men. Yes, the Bible was written by holy men, but the unholy men wrote over them, or that's why Christ said, beware of the scribes. All right, now here it is. The name of blasphemy, not names, but name of blasphemy. What does the church world, the Christian church world, what name do they call upon? And it could be false, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out. Remember, 1411, it was a mark of his name, not a mark of a chip. This name was placed there spiritually by their intelligence. They perceived it to be in the Bible, so they said it's right. They never check it out. They never pray. They never search the scriptures. They just go on tradition, what mom and daddy had. It was good enough for them. It's good enough for them, they say. And so then they take tradition and deceit and corruption over truth. You see, truth will wash out falsehood. And the true name is written in Revelation 14:1. And I looked, and Lamb stood on Mount Zion with 144,000, having his father's name written in her forehead. You've got to have a name in your forehead, ladies and gentlemen. Don't worry about getting a name in your forehead. It won't be a chip. It'll be your understanding about the name that you believe in. You see, whatever you submitted to, whatever name that you went down in, you say, well, I've baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What's the Father's name? You say, God. It's me to God. So which one? You see, you're in a dilemma. You've got to identify the God by a name. And this name must be in your forehead. And therefore, Christians, you know, many of them are baptized by the Son and Holy Ghost. Many of them now turn to be baptized in Jesus' name, according to Acts 2:38. But you see, there again, they took out the correct name, I-E-U-E, in Greek. Heard it over to I-E-S-U-S. Well, my time is all come and gone. Praise God. I have enjoyed being with you, part one of the Beast. We'll be back next Sunday night. Don't miss next Sunday night as we go deeper into the mark of the beast. We're going to give you conclusive proof in four messages that Yahweh has given you a true name that was rejected. Are you man enough or woman enough to stand up for the truth that will make you free? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this is critical. This may be the most important message that you've ever heard. If you want to go to heaven, you must have the true name. I just came fresh about this great message of truth. Now, you need to call me. This is Pastor Buddy, area code 423-626-2172. Pastor Buddy, area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip, 37824. Now, if I've gone too fast for you, remember my telephone number. I'm here live tonight, and this is, by the way, we're moving along in time. This is July the 18th, so call me. I'm live here in the office. In the studios, here where we're broadcasting on worldwide WWCR around the world, the voice of Christian radio. You hear me tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You're hearing the truth put down to the rubber where the rubber meets the road. You see, ladies and gentlemen, he's looking for people that are worshiping in spirit and truth. You can worship in spirit, but when the truth comes, it'll separate the men from the boys and the girls from the ladies. Praise Yahweh. So you need to get into this. You need to grow up and be a calf in the stall and get with the program. Now, if you'd like to call Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. That's 1-877-279-7439. You need to call that number for support. Dr. Gary or Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. They need to hear from you. Let's support to our radio program. Ladies and gentlemen, our time is just about gone here. So we're going to bid you adieu as we tell you that Yahweh loves you, and so do we.
Thank you.